How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Good. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, shall we? Luke chapter 6. Last week we talked about loving our enemies, and I know maybe you're thinking you have no enemies, but not everybody's going to love us. Not everybody's going to love you, and we have choices to make. Do we just retaliate? Do we just write them off? Do we just say, oh, whatever, they're such and such, or they're so and so, or whatever? But Jesus gave us these four things that we should do. He said to love them, to do good to them, to bless them, and to pray for them. Those are people who are angry with you, that don't like you, that are, for whatever reason, against you. Love them, do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. Like, are you kidding? Like, these are enemies. But we saw last week that we're supposed to be like Jesus. And so we need supernatural help to do that. We can't just do that in and of ourselves. We don't have it. I don't have it, for sure. But on the cross, you know, Jesus, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Paul said, don't take revenge. Don't pay back evil with evil, but overcome evil with good, he said in Romans chapter 12. And I, again, quote these verses. Jesus said this, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So to even fulfill this part of his word to us, we have to ask, we have to submit, we have to look to the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do what we need to do. We can't do it in and of ourselves. He kind of continues that now, and the truth is, and he brought that up last section as well, that it all comes back to us. How we treat people, how we live, it comes back to us. And we're going to see that in the continuing section here. We see a lot more of it as we go. And that spiritual principle that what we sow, what? We will reap. What we sow, we will reap. Again, Jesus asks us to do things that are not natural to us. Let's look at verse 37, where we pick it up where we left off. And Jesus said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. You know, you say, well, I don't ever do that. Well, that's not true. We do it. We do it like this, right? You meet somebody, you see somebody, something happens, and immediately we make judgments, and we start to, in our minds and in our hearts, and sometimes the words that come out of our mouths back that up, where we're judging them. We're really good. We make these snap judgments, and really, kind of what it is and what Jesus is pointing out is that it puts us above the others, you see. David Guzik said this. He talks about it being rash, harsh, unjust judgment. Judging an entire life by its worst moments. We're judging motives. And we judge others without considering ourselves. We judge others by one standard and ourselves by another. This is the whole thought that comes out in this passage. Someone else said this, don't act as God, as in passing some final judgment, because we cannot see motives. Now, you'll say, well, you know what? We need to judge, and we need wisdom. We need to be discerning, right? And there is truth in that. We need to be discerning. We're supposed to be. And there are many other passages that talk about that, and Jesus talked about looking for the fruit and all different kinds of situations here. But Jesus doesn't say this for no reason, because we can become very judgmental. I mean, some of you, you're looking at my shirt and you're going, that's the ugliest shirt I ever saw. You know, we can be very judgmental about people, about what they say, about what they do, and again, it's this idea that we have become the judge. But who is the judge? Jesus is the judge. Our Heavenly Father is the judge, and I think we need to pay attention to that. Now, one other thing, kind of on the other hand, I want to just point this out as well, and sometimes people quote this verse, you know, don't judge anyone. And they quote that verse to kind of justify any lifestyle. And that's not good either. Any lifestyle or behavior or teaching, well, don't judge because Jesus said don't judge, so, you know, this is okay whatever I'm doing. But if it's going against what the Bible says is clearly wrong, it's got nothing to do with us making this judgment about this. It's got to do with what Jesus has already spelled out. So, but back to this idea about judging, why shouldn't we judge? Because it will come back to us. We will be judged, right? Don't judge. Why? Because we will be judged. The truth is, what we dish out, it will come back right back to us. In the last section, Jesus gave us the golden rule, right? Do unto others what? As you would have them do unto you. So the way we treat people and the judgments we make, this is going to come back to us. We get critical. We get so critical and judgmental of other people and situations, and we're not really in tune to what is truly happening. He says, do not condemn. And that word means to have strong judgment, to pronounce guilty. He says, do not condemn, you will not be condemned. But he goes on, he doesn't stop there. He says, forgive. Forgive. Now, why would you need to forgive somebody if they never did anything? Now, you know, like I said, are there situations that are wrong and bad and whatever? But, you know, we need to be able to forgive people. Why? Because we need to be forgiven. We're walking around and we're making all these judgments and being all critical and condemning people, and there's no forgiveness in our hearts. The word forgive means to set free. It means to let go, to dismiss, to release. And when we don't forgive others, we carry that around inside of us. Now, is it easy to forgive? No, it's not. Where are we going to get the love to do that? We got to get it again from God, from the Holy Spirit to help us forgive. But when we don't forgive, it affects us directly. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6. You can turn there if you like. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus said this. He said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When we are not forgiving, it affects our relationship with God. You see, it doesn't affect our eternal relationship if we're born again and we're a child of God, but it certainly affects us in the here and now. Judging, condemning, not forgiving. Is there more? What does he say after that? Verse 38. That was just one verse. We could spend the whole day on that, but we're going to be in the book of Luke, you know, for about 15 years, and I'm too old for that. Verse 38. He says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, this applies to the previous words as well about judging and about condemning, about forgiving or not forgiving. The measure you use, we use, it will be measured back to us. Now, he says here to give. Now, is he just talking about money? I think it's a lot more than that. He's talking about everything. What kind of people are we? You know, are we giving people or we hold back everything? I think you could include love in that. I think you could include blessing other people, forgiveness for sure, as well as material resources. Give and it will be given to you. Not just a little bit, but he says it's a good measure that's pressed down. You know, they press it down so you can actually get more in there, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. There's something about being giving people that comes back to us. And when we're hoarders or you know, hold on to everything and we're not willing to give anything to anybody, that comes back to us as well. So I decided we're going to take an offering now. And even though we don't take offerings here. But there's something about this principle. Again, these are principles that Jesus is giving to us as his children, and how are we supposed to live? Are we judgmental? He said, don't judge. Don't condemn. Be forgiving people. Be giving people. I want you to turn ahead with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This idea about giving, I think it's an important one. And, you know, we don't talk about money here. We don't talk about, and I'm just going to include it along with the whole principle of giving. But Paul talks about, you know, this idea of sowing here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. So it's a decision we make, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what? A cheerful giver, and the word is actually literally means hilarious. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So he is able to bless and to give back to us. But again, are we tight-fisted people or are we open-fisted people? Are we willing to give and bless other people? And again, this isn't just money. This is our whole attitude of life. One thing I do want to say is this, is that we don't give so that we will get, even though it's a principle that he's spelling out here, Jesus and also Paul, is that when we are giving people, we will receive. But you don't give so that you can get, right? But you will get, you will receive. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. He talks about, who are we following? He says this. He said he also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? And a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. The blind leading the blind? Obviously not. Jesus talked about the Pharisees as they were blind leaders of the blind. They weren't, how could they lead? They didn't have eyes to see. And I think what he means, why he brings this up in this passage right here is that we shouldn't be following the world. But we should be following the Lord. He says, a student is not above his teacher. Everyone who is fully trained will be as like his teacher. Who is the teacher? Who is our teacher? Jesus is our teacher, right? To be like Jesus. That's what God's calling us to do, is to be like Jesus. You remember the story when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet? They thought, oh, you know, Peter says, no, you'll never do that or whatever. But Jesus, he lowered himself and he was willing to do something for them. He humbled himself. But Jesus said to them, he said, very truly I tell you that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So even the stuff we're talking about here today, as an exercise, I think, you know, as you're going out, as you're going on with your day today, think about the kinds of things that we are judging in our minds when we talk to people, when, you know, whether it be somebody in your family, whether it's somebody outside your family. Are you like judging them? Are you making some kind of a critical, you know, decision about them? Jesus goes on here in this passage and kind of points some stuff out, and I think it kind of should hit home with us. In verse 41, Jesus said this, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" I find it interesting that he says brother here. He's talking about people that are close to you now, not just people out there, not somebody, you know, you don't really know, but he's saying your brother, your family, people in the church, people that you know. He says, why are you looking and you're making these judgments and decisions about them and what you see in them, but you have no idea about what you have in your own life? Somebody said this, to criticize someone for a fault while remaining blind to our own considerable faults. And I like this from the King James Version Bible commentary. Human nature is to see our brother's fault while overlooking our own. But human nature is what? Is sinful. It's human nature to be like this. But David Guzik said, Jesus shows that we are generally far more tolerant to our own sin than we are to the sin of others. We're quick to judge other people, but we're not quick to judge ourselves. But Jesus is saying here that that's what we need to do first. Verse 42, he says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye?" He said, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So it's okay to help others. It's okay you see something that needs to be addressed. It's okay. It's okay to help others if that is our motive. It's not... Our motive isn't just to judge people, but he says, but first you need to look at yourself. You need to judge ourselves first. Someone that said this, if one takes care of his own faults, he may be able to help his brother. If we look at ourselves, what's going on in my own life? Before I'm so quick to point out something in someone else, we need to examine ourselves first. You all know the story about the woman caught in adultery, right? There were a lot of people there. They were ready just to stone her to death, right? You know the story. But what did Jesus say? This is what he said. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And what happened in that situation? It says, one by one, they all realize, you know what? Who am I to make this judgment to actually kill this woman and stone her to death. Don't judge, Jesus said. Don't condemn, but forgive. He says, give. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Love people. Do good to them. Bless them. Pray for them. This is a whole attitude of life as a believer, as someone who's called to follow after Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6, if you would, please, and we'll kind of finish with this passage. Paul talks about it, and I think it confirms what Jesus is saying here. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should what? Judge him harshly. Condemn. Throw him out. Throw the first stone. Get him. Right? Is that what Paul says here? What does he say we should do? Restore him gently. You know, again, as I have already said, you know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do things that aren't perfectly right, and we have to be understanding of that. Again, not to condone someone who's living, in against what God's Word says how we should live. Not condoning them, but restoring them. He said that we who are spiritual should restore him gently. But look what he says on the second half of that verse. And this, again, this is so close to what Jesus was saying. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Watch yourself. Have a look at yourself. Verse 2, he says, carry each other's burdens. And this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. To be spiritual, to be like Jesus, to carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? It should be more of an attitude of what can I do to help that person, instead of, you know what, you are a loser. Sometimes we don't say it, but that's what we're thinking. You're such a loser. Some of you are thinking about that, about me that way right now. This guy is such a loser. Like, what am I here for? But he says to carry each other's burdens. We all have burdens to carry, you know. We all have stuff. And some of the burdens we carry make us do stupid things. But to carry each other's burden, to care about the other person. Think about what they might be going through. Think about your own life. Like, I'm carrying a lot of burdens too, and it is not easy. It's very difficult, very hard. So how can I help them with their burdens? And you know what? I found it true, and I think it's biblical as well, that when we help other people with their burdens, our burdens are less. We're not so focused on just what I have to carry, what I am going through. We're helping someone else, and I don't know, it just kind of lifts our own burdens a little bit. Is that true? Any of you ever experienced that? Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's beautiful, really. It's a beautiful passage, but you know, it's got to go beyond just us reading it and saying that's really nice, but to actually doing it. Verse 3, he says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This idea of examining ourselves. Verse 4, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. We've got to test our own actions, our own hearts, our own ideas, and why am I judging that person? Why am I condemning them? Why am I, you know, not caring about them? Why am I holding back from them? You who are spiritual should restore, should carry one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. Not easy, is it? But you know what? Sometimes we as Christians can be the most judgmental people around, when we're called to be the most loving people around. We're called to be the people who carry one another's burdens. We're called to be people who restore and help and understand, not, you know, just write people off. We're called to be people who fulfill this law of Christ. Isn't that what Jesus came and did? You know, if Jesus just judged and condemned, which he had every right to do, right? If he was not willing to forgive, where would you and I be today? But Jesus came and he healed, he forgave, he died upon a cross so that we could be forgiven and have brand new life to go to heaven and live with him forever and ever. That's the law of Christ. That's the example that he gave for you and for me. That's what he said when he washed those disciples' feet. You will be blessed, what? If you do these things, not if you know these things. We can know a lot of stuff and know a lot of Bible, and yet we don't do anything. Better we know less Bible and do more than know more Bible and do less. I just made that up. Is that amazing or what? We need to be like Jesus. We just need to be like Jesus and carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that we really don't know very much. We think we do. Sometimes we think we know more than you. But we really have such limited knowledge and understanding. So we pray, Lord, you would give us wisdom. You would give us insight. You would give us the love that we don't have to love our neighbor and our brothers and our sisters and even those in our family that are hard to live with, that are hard. Father, we don't have it. I don't have it. I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring about healing, bring about the ability to serve and to do this love of carrying one another's burdens, ministering to one another. Jesus, I pray for our families. You would do a work and let it begin with us. Let it begin with me, that I would surrender and hear the voice of your Holy Spirit showing me, guiding me what to do. I pray that for each one of us. I pray for open eyes to see today, Lord, what it is that you're trying to say to us and in our relationships with the people around us and the people we work with and go to school with, wherever we might be, that we might fulfill the law of Christ. Be like Jesus. Again, Lord, we can't do it. We just don't have it in us. Lord, we're selfish, we're self-centered, we're critical, we're judgmental. We're all the things that he's talking about here. But you said in your word in 1 Corinthians 13, you will show us a more excellent way, the way of love. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And so many other things as well. But it starts with love. Help us today, Lord, to just take one little step, one little opportunity, one little circumstance, one little situation to be what you want us to be. Father, I pray this morning as well for any who do not know you, who do not have a relationship with you, the great lover of our souls, the one who died and proved your love for us. I pray for any that don't know you, they would understand, they would open their hearts to you today to believe in you and receive you into their lives and hearts. Here today, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's all stand and sing together one more song together.